You're listening to the Bears Brothers podcast and postgame show, the place where Bears fans across the globe hang out online after every Bears game. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down. Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Bears Brothers Podcast, and welcome to our Bears-Bengals preseason preview show. Even though there's still over a month before games truly matter, there are still a lot at stake over the next few weeks as players at every single position are fighting to make the roster. I'm your host, Will DeWitt, and to help me preview this game, I have both of my Bears brothers alongside with me. I have Brandon Hazlett and Nicholas Moriano, and gentlemen, we're back to normal for the first time in a few weeks. First live show that we've had in quite some time. We're all back in our respective homes. I can see your faces on a screen, not in person. Feels pretty right, doesn't it?
It does. It's just nice to be live again.
Exactly, it is. Yeah. I mean, the adrenaline's pumping. I feel like I'm on the spot a little bit more than when we're offline, sitting in a hotel room bed, trying to record a podcast, talking about the Hall of Fame game. So how quickly things get back to normal here at the Bears Brothers. But other than that, guys, how's getting back to normal been for you?
Different. The lack of sleep didn't faze me so much on Sunday like I thought it would, but Monday at work, it was like, whew. I needed that more than 2 hours of sleep on Sunday morning. Yeah.
Oh, it was awful for me, to be completely honest. I was like, man, wow, it's all just hitting me at once. But, you know, we did the podcast right as soon as we got home. And then after that, it was just kind of downhill from there. But I'm glad we had some chance to get some sleep, and we're back live, like you guys said. So it's a good time.
Yes, it is. All right. And for those who have been around our show for the past year, maybe even a couple of years, you know what to expect from our typical game preview episodes, but with it being preseason, I've decided that we need to take this in a slightly different approach, because I think this way you're going to find the most beneficial. So for today's preview, we're going to run down and discuss a list of about 10 things, maybe more, that we're going to be watching on Thursday night, and that way you'll know what to pay attention to as well. Fellas, you ready to dive on in?
Let's do it.
Awesome. So my first one on the list, wide receiver debuts. Anthony Miller, even Kevin White this year, maybe Allen Robinson. Taylor Gabriel is making the trip, even though he is dampened with a foot injury. So we'll see. But out of all of these players, personally, and I believe everyone's going to be in agreement here, that I'm most excited to see what Anthony Miller can do with his first game as a Bear. Also wondering things like, you know, how long will he play? Will they even put him on display or kind of want to keep him under wraps? But ideally, out of Miller, I want to see the same things that we've all saw at camp: route running, separation, making those wild catches, obviously throughout this game's time situation. And if he can go out there, prove to be effective, even if he doesn't play a ton of snaps, it's going to do a lot for some confidence, but not his confidence. Anthony Miller is already ultra confident. We know that. But I think it's going to do a lot for maybe Trubisky's confidence in him, kind of establishing that game connection, that game chemistry. That way, come to regular season, when Trubisky has to chuck it 17's way, he knows that, of course, Miller is going to make that play. Nick, I'm going to go over to you. What are you watching for in terms of course, these wide receiver debuts? If you want to talk more Anthony Miller, I don't think anybody is going to complain.
Yeah, no, I mean, Anthony Miller has been so exciting in training camp that you just want to see it translate against a different team now. He doesn't have to do what he's been doing to his own teammates. He can now do it to the Cincinnati Bengals cornerbacks. But yeah, I just want to see him make more of those big plays that he did in camp. I want to see him run with the ones, honestly. If he plays with the twos, that's great for him, still getting that NFL experience. But I really want to see what he does with the first team unit, with Trubisky, how that chemistry goes from, you know, training camp now to the actual game. Kevin White's a guy that's kind of, I don't want to say he's been lost with the hype of Anthony Miller and Allen Robinson, but you still want to see what he can do. Interested to see how many minutes does he actually play in the preseason. I want to see him play a lot, but I have a feeling that the Bears just want to get him into the regular season healthy. So it'll be interesting to see how the Bears, you know, manage that, Kevin White and, you know, all of his injury history that he's had. But it'll be interesting to see how they, manage that.
Exactly, because Kevin White, we talked about it after the Hall of Fame game, Mike. We were surprised that he wasn't out there for that game. He was, you know, he was dressed, but he was pretty much inactive. He didn't go out there. And at first, we're thinking, hey, Obviously, he's made a good impression at camp. I mean, he's, for the most part, has made a better impression than I think most would anticipate throughout training camp. So maybe he has the night off. But you brought up a great point with his history of injuries. Maybe it's just a night off to keep him healthy. So it would be interesting to see tomorrow night on Thursday, what kind of role does he have? How long is he out there? How many snaps does he actually take? Because durability is always a concern, but it's, you know, a two-way street. Number one, he needs to be out there to prove he can play and prove he can be durable. But two, of course, you want to make him at least last at a regular season, even though I think we know that doesn't always mean success either when it comes for Kevin White. So again, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't in terms of Kevin. But Brandon, over to you. Wide receiver debuts. What do you got?
I think we're all excited for Anthony Miller.
Yay.
But like you said, you're excited to see his route running and things of that nature. I'm excited to see him get some live reps. I think he gets the most reps out of the three that we've mentioned, Kevin White, Allen Robinson, and Anthony Miller. I think Miller gets the most. I think he gets some time with the ones because they rotate guys in and out so frequently. I think he's going to get a lot of time with the twos. And even if he goes out there and fails in some of his route running or doesn't make the easy catch per se, I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing because Nagy says, you know, time and time again, you can fail once and that's okay. But if you do it a second time, you know, then we've got major problems. So it's going to be out there, going to be good for him to get out there and learn, fail once or twice, maybe, hopefully not twice, but at least once, because that's how you learn. So I'm excited to see him get some live game reps. And something with Kevin White too, we've seen, at least something that I've noticed kind of somewhat through camp, is, you know, he's made these great plays, made some good down the field catches, but sometimes he's got focus problems or quote-unquote finish the play, as the coaches have been screaming throughout all of camp, it seems like. And I noticed it more with him that he doesn't necessarily run all the way into the end zone after the play like they're required to, I guess. So I just want to know where his focus is going to be at. I don't think he gets very many reps. I think it's mostly with the ones, but I'll be interested to see where he's at focus-wise and mentally with the ones when he's out there.
Yeah, exactly. Good stuff there, B. And of course, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel. Gabriel has a foot injury, but he's making the trip. I still doubt he actually goes out there and plays. Who knows? He can surprise. We can talk about that. About Allen Robinson, I'm curious about your guys' thoughts on if he will play or not, because, you know, coming back from the ACL, he's looking good in practice. He's still been on a pitch count, also not participating in every single practice. But when he's out there, he's looking good. He's making great, he's running great routes. He's looking fast. He's looking fluid, quick and decisive with his cuts, especially in a red zone. That's when his big body has really been on display so far at camp. So, Nick, what do you think the Bears do? Do they play him? Do they keep it safe? And if he's out there, how long? What do you expect?
Yeah, this is interesting. I've been thinking about this one a lot. I think Allen Robinson maybe plays, if the offense plays maybe two or three series, I think he plays only the first one. I still think that the Bears are going to, like you said, keep him on that pitch count. And he hasn't practiced all too much at training camp. There are times where the first offense is running all through their plays, and Allen Robinson's not in there. And, you know, they kind of sprinkle him in, you know, in and out throughout practices that I've been into. So I think Robinson gets one series and that's about it for the night tomorrow.
Anything different there, B?
No, I think it's one of those, like you said earlier, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If they play him too much, you know, raises the risk of injury, obviously, but if they don't play him enough and he's not ready to receive hits by the time the regular season rolls around, that also kind of increases his chance of injury, I guess. So I would say one series at the most as well.
I mean, as Coach Nagy's been saying all training camp long, it's about callousing your body. And I think that's what you need to do here with Robinson, someone like Kevin White. You know, even if it's baby steps, any sort of progress is good progress if you're the Chicago Bears. All right, guys, let's move on to number two on our list. And I have Trubisky building off that good practice that he had Monday, which, of course, we weren't there. Coincidence? Maybe so. But it's going to be his first action of the preseason. And even if he plays one, two, three series, I think we can all agree that no matter what, how small the sample size could be, we just want to see a very strong 2018 debut. We know the Bears won't be running their quote-unquote true offense, or maybe they're just going to be having some basic parts of it on display. But regardless, I want to see how Trubisky can take in the play call, command the huddle, get people lined up, make checks at the line, something that we've seen throughout all camp. And, you know, even though we've seen it at camp, and I think he's done a pretty good job at it, it's different when the play clock's running and it's for real and it's a game situation. So yes, it's time to see what he can do with this offense in games. Brandon, when it comes to Trubisky building off that good practice on Monday, what are some things that you hope to see?
Well, unfortunately, like you said, we weren't there Monday to see that practice. I know. I'd like to see where he's at. So I don't know how well it's going to translate into game time. That's something that he's going to have to, again, incorporate, because in practice you can, you know, have game time situations, but it's not the same as being out there with people watching you and cheering you on. The adrenaline's running a little bit more. So I want to know, you know, like you said, he's commanded the huddle very well. I'm curious to know if that trend continues throughout the course of the game. He's not going to get very many snaps, I don't think, so it's going to be really hard to tell how well it translates. I don't think he plays very much in this game either, you know, one or two series, possibly three. So it's going to be hard to see if it translates, but I want to see him have more touch on the passes like we talked about the other day and things of that nature. Things that we touched on, want to see that he's able to take that next leap.
Yeah, especially with those short passes. You talked about it on the last practice we were able to attend. He's putting just a little bit too much zip on those routes and guys are like 4 yards away. And when in a game situation, when nerves play even a larger factor than they would throughout practice, that'll be a lot on him to kind of, you know, calm it down just a little bit, because it's easy when you're having those butterflies, you have the nerves, and you can just rifle them in there as hard as you can, like letting out that stress. But Nick, to you, Mitchell Trubisky, first time seeing him under Coach Nagy and Bear, first time seeing him as an entire offseason under his belt as being his team. What do you expect? What do you want to see?
You know, I really want to see a good, successful first drive. You don't want to see a three and out. And, you know, we've all been waiting for this. How is Trubisky going to, you know, elevate his play in year two with a offensive oriented coach in Matt Nagy? So I think that you want to see him have some early checkdowns, convert on third down, and just be poised in the pocket. Now these guys are coming and they can actually hit you, because we know in, you know, these training camp practices that we've been to, that had this been another team playing, Trubisky would have been hit a couple of times. So now how's he going to be able to, you know, rebound back from that if he does take a hit? And the biggest thing here, you just want to come, you want to avoid those big hits, stay healthy, because this is preseason game number 2 of 5 for the Bears. And you just want to see him, you know, like Brandon said, have that touch in those passes, show that chemistry that has been built from the beginning of training camp, translate onto the field against the Bengals. Even if he does have maybe 1, 2, 3 series, make the most of them. Because again, he did have a very good Monday practice that we all wish we went to. And hopefully that does translate, but who knows?
So you're telling me you don't want to see any read options where Trubisky's taking the boot to the left like we saw in practice? And taking those hits.
Oh man, I don't want to see him get hit. I mean, if he gains yards and able to get out of bounds, that's great. But no, we want Trubisky to be healthy for game one against the Packers.
Just I figured as such. I just wanted to make sure. I don't care if he gains yards or not on the ground. Honestly, just don't take any extra hits. It's preseason. It doesn't matter. Let's save that from the game's count. But anything else with Trubisky that either of you want to mention that you're going to be paying attention to on Thursday night?
You know, I just want to see his decision-making, quick decisions. That was a little, I would say, iffy in training camp, but it seemed like he would hold on to the ball a little bit too long. So now here, like I said, guys are coming after Trubisky. Get the ball out of his hands so, again, he can avoid those big hits.
Yeah.
I talked about game management, too, earlier when I was talking about Trubisky. I just want to see that in effect with the game clock running. Because, like I said, you can have it, quote-unquote, in practice, but it's just not the same. So let's see that as another added element, even if that he was having a good day, equate to throwing the ball. Let's see the head game come with managing the clock and things of that nature.
Absolutely. Yeah, Nick, you mentioned the holding onto the ball too long, because in practice there are times when he'd have it for 6-7 seconds because they're not doing live reps, so he'd hold it waiting for something to happen. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen on Thursday night. So that's something he needs to, you know, get back there within a few seconds, make a throw, make a decision. And yeah, it's going to be his first time doing it in 2018. And hopefully he does a good job at it. And if he doesn't, the good news is we still have a couple more preseason games to kind of work out the kinks. Moving on to number 3, guys, we're going to look at something we've talked about in length all camp, all offseason, after the Hall of Fame game as well. So we don't need to take up too much time on it, but it's still on the radar, still on everyone's radar. And that's going to be the defensive end battle between Roy Robertson Harris and John Bullard. Last week, Bullard had two tackles for a loss, and which includes a sack. And Roy Robertson Harris had 1 tackle, which was a sack. So this is another opportunity for both to kind of make an impact on defense. If you've been listening to the show, you kind of know our thoughts that we've seen throughout camp, what we've seen at the Hall of Fame game. But guys, in terms of this game, anything different that we haven't really discussed yet that you want to mention to our listeners, Nick?
You know, we just want to see between these two players who is more consistent on a, you know, play-to-play basis. You know, not giving up ground, winning the point of attack, getting off the ball fast, and just disrupting plays. Whichever one of these guys can do that more consistently will win the starting job. I think Bullard has the upper hand right now, but again, we'll see what happens tomorrow night. But hopefully both these guys have, you know, a decent game and continue to have a decent preseason, because you want to have depth at that position. But I think Bullard, it's his job to lose right now.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that it's definitely Bullard's right now. And the thing is, if the Bears are playing nickel, more than likely that's going to be Robertson Harris out there in the field. So again, you know, we talked about this a bunch that it doesn't really matter who wins the starting job because they're both going to be out there almost split 50-50 throughout the season. But I think it matters that there's competition and they're trying to get the most out of these players, getting them ready for the year. And that's what I'm looking for in this battle, just for them to see, or to see out of them, I should say, that they're competing, that they have a desire to win, a will to go out there and wreak havoc in the pressure, in the pocket, create some pressure, and of course, stuff some lanes in a running game. So all those things is what I want to see out of both these guys. I'm not really cheering for one over the other. I want to see both of them come out of this competition better players because our defensive line rotation is going to be better for it. But what about you, B? Defensive end, what do you got?
I agree. Thirdly, that it's John Bullard's job to lose right now, because when his motor's on, I mean, he seeks to make the play. It seems like when Roy Robertson Harris is out there, he just kind of lets the game come to him, and that's when he's able to make the most of his opportunities. And there's nothing wrong with that, just as long as he's reliable. So I think as long as John Bullard's got his motor up high, the RPMs are really up there revving, I think that it's really just his to lose if he can't get to that point.
And I want to mention, while we're talking about defensive ends, I want to bring up Bilal Nichols here, because he's someone who throughout the most training camp was with the third strings. He got bumped up to the second string. We saw him in practice making some good plays, making some good decisions, being fired up. And in the preseason game prior to the Hall of Fame game, he was also in there making some headway as well. So I want to see his progression from 1 week to the next. I want to see what kind of steps he can take. Can he play with the twos now? Because last the week prior, he was primarily with the threes. So can he handle this higher competition? Because, of course, going from Delaware to the pros, it's a jump. And I think you're kind of, you know, working him up the ladder. Can he beat the threes? Yes. Now, can he do it with the twos? Hopefully so. And then if so, we'll see what exactly how the Bears want to use him in terms of maybe rotating him in with the starters, maybe in the third preseason game, just to see how he looks out there. Anything else on defensive ends that you guys like to mention? I know we're all paying attention to it.
Yeah, you brought up Bilal Nichols. I hope he brings that same energy that we've seen on Sunday. I think carrying Akeem Hicks's pads is kind of, you know, that energy is rubbed off on him. So I hope we see that in the game on Thursday.
I like it. I like it. It's like the magic powers of shoulder pads from Akeem Hicks. That sweat. It's like the Michael Jordan secret stuff.
Do you think we see Akeem Hicks?
I hope so. At least a little bit. I mean, maybe not, because it doesn't matter. I think Akeem Hicks, he's someone we want to keep him fresh, and he's going to be fine regardless. He knows the defense. He knows his job. He knows his place. Do I want to see him out there? Of course. I love watching Akeem Hicks play football, but does he need to be out there? That might have a different answer.
Yeah, very true.
All right, guys, number four. This was going to be a battle between Kylie Fitz and Isaiah Irving, or at least watching both of them. But just in case you missed it, Isaiah Irving is not making the trip. He's been dealing with an injury as well. So, I mean, that's a tough break for him, because Irving's someone who he's been really turning some heads throughout camp last week as well. Someone who we really want to see create a strong role within the rotation at outside linebacker. But now he's not making the trip. Hopefully it's precautionary and it's still minor enough that he can get back out there this preseason, because I think we need it. So unfortunately there's something to watch when it comes to Isaiah Irving, but let's look at Kylie Fitz a little bit, because last week he had four tackles, a sack, a quarterback hit. And yeah, I just want to see if he can make his presence felt. I mean, we've seen a little bit as a pass rusher. We saw a little bit out of Fitz in coverage as well, but can he do it on a week to week basis? You know, in a perfect world, I think we can definitely see that from him, see some growth. But I do fear a slight letdown from someone who is a 6th round pick. He's still adjusting to the game. And now with Isaiah Irving out there, and I know teams aren't really watching tape, but you better believe the Bengals know that Kylie Fitz made some plays last week and are going to be paying attention to him when he's out there on the field. But when you guys are watching Fitz, what are some things you want to see? What do you expect to see? And Brandon, I'm going to go to you first.
I want to see him continue to play well in space. I don't think we're going to have too many plays where the quarterback's going to scramble out of the pocket like we did against the Ravens with RG3 and Lamar Jackson. But his ability to contain on the edge, not let those guys get massive amounts of yards, and be able to play in open space and adjust well to those quarterbacks, that's something I want to see, is can he seal the edge? Things like that, because he's going to face that more with running backs than he will with quarterbacks in this one.
Yeah. What about you, Nick?
You know, I want to see Fitz utilize some more moves to get to the quarterback, and this is the perfect time to do it against other competition and in the preseason. See what works, see what doesn't work. And, you know, he did drop back in coverage well against the Ravens last week. Want to continue to see him do that. As we all know, Fangio likes to do that with outside linebackers. But the big thing for me with Fitz, just be in position to make plays. He doesn't necessarily have to make them, but knows assignments. He's still a rookie, getting, you know, used to his Vic Fangio defense. I think if he could do that and show, again, I brought it up with Bullard and Roy Robson Harris, consistency, you know, he might see some time, you know, during the course of the regular season. That's not surprising, but yeah, if Fitz can do those things, I think that would be good for him, especially with Isaiah Irving not playing in this game.
Right. And real quick, before we move on to the next one, speaking of outside linebackers, now that we, you know, I was planning on talking about Irving, but now we have a little bit extra time here. Nick, I'm going to go right back to you since you put me on the spot about Akeem Hicks. Leonard Floyd, does he play? And if so, how long?
I think he does. We saw him a lot, practice a lot more this past week than we have, you know, the previous weeks when we went to training camp. And I think he does get some playing time, and he looked really good in training camp practice we were just at on Sunday. Hopefully that translates again. But yeah, I think we do see some Leonard Floyd.
Okay. So when he's out there, what would you watch? Even if, say, he doesn't make a sack or anything, but what are some things that you would see? Because this is a big year for him. Year three is a huge year for any player. And this is when we really want to see some steps, some progress from Leonard Floyd. Obviously, we want to see him put together a full 16-game season. But let's take it one step at a time. And our next step is, of course, tomorrow night, preseason game one for the starters. So what do you want to see out of Floyd? What's something that he can do to kind of make you comfortable with what the direction that he's heading in?
So obviously I want him to get back to the quarterback, make some sacks. But if he doesn't do that, which is fine in a preseason game, I want to see him just win the point of attack. That's always been a thing that Leonard Floyd has always had to maybe improve upon, because he's not the strongest guy, but use those long arms, get those offensive linemen off of him, shed the block, and then be able to make a tackle on the backfield or force it inside. That's a big thing for Leonard Floyd. I know just back at last Sunday's practice, he had a play where he missed that, or he waited too long. I want to see him just be aggressive, make a tackle, get into a play, and just disrupt it. But that's a big thing with Floyd. If he doesn't get to the quarterback, those little things that maybe don't fill up on the stat sheet, you just want to see him do.
Absolutely. B, anything else you'd like to add in terms of outside linebackers before we take a look inside?
I'm interested to see Sam Acho too. He's been a guy who's really exploded as far as a potential pass rusher. He's got a really good bull rush that he's developed. I just kind of want to see him, if he's going to be able to get back there or not.
Yeah, of course. And for those listening wondering, is Aaron Lynch going to play? No. He hasn't practiced. He's not ready. When will he be ready? Team? We don't know.
Is he on the team?
He is on the sideline. He does dress in a Chicago Bears uniform. He's getting paid a heck of a lot more money than I. So yeah, he's on the team.
That's unfortunate.
Well, hey, you know, I'm trying not to get too down. If he gets healthy and he comes out there and he can be a part of the rotation, he doesn't even need to start. We need the bodies. I'm not going to be too picky right now. Of course, I want to see him out there. I want to see him healthy. His injury history has been as cluttered as Kevin White's over the last few years. So we'll see. Patience with Aaron Lynch. All right, guys, let's look inside. And I have a few questions here. Does Nick Kwiatkowski play? And if so, how long? What do we expect from him? Can John Timu rebound from that week that he had against the Ravens? And also, does Iggy play? And if so, how does he look? All of these players to pay attention to. And real quick, since I just talked about Aaron Lynch, I really doubt that Danny Trevathan is going to play. He's just now getting back in full pads. He's the captain of this defense. He's going to be fine regardless. I doubt they put him out there in this preseason game. I'm assuming you might not even see him out there until at least the third. Well, technically our fourth preseason game, but the typical third preseason game where most of the starters get out there and get their reps in. But inside linebacker, Nick, whoever you want to talk about, the floor is yours.
With Kwiatkowski, it's going to be interesting because the Bears are pretty thin at that position. Like you said, Danny Trevathan just got back to practice. Still no Roquan Smith. You know, whenever the Bears decide to take out that first team defense, you know, I think that Kwiatkowski's day is definitely done. You don't want to risk an injury there. And I want to talk about Joel E.A. Buniwe. I think I got that right. He's a guy that just started practicing. We didn't see a lot of him during training camp. But in terms of all the inside linebackers, he's going to be the one that's going to look the most maybe out of place, because, again, he hasn't practiced a lot. So this is a perfect time for him to, you know, get acclimated to the game speed, see what, you know, what his reads are, see what Vic Fangio's throwing at him at the inside linebacker position. But this is a good time to make those mistakes. So I'm really interested in watching Iggy and see what he can do, you know, in his first game action against the, you know, NFL opponents. So it's going to be interesting what he can do.
So you anticipate Iggy playing? I know he's just starting to get back into practice. So I don't think anyone knows. I don't even think the coaches won't even know until they go through like warmups tomorrow, but your gut says he will.
My gut's saying that he plays, and it's going to be probably in that third team defense.
Okay. B, over to you for inside backers. What are you paying attention to?
I think it's imperative that Kwiatkowski plays. It just, like I said, earlier with Allen Robinson and Kevin White, just got to be able to get acclimated. He's got to be able to have the head thing right. Like I said, with Trubisky, got to be able to make the play calls, because he will be doing that in this game anyway, to at least get some practice in it, because I don't anticipate Danny Trevathan playing either. So I think it's imperative that he plays to get those live reps, to be able to call a defense in case it's needed upon in the regular season. Does John Timu bounce back after a meh week one? I think he does. It was more just of a meh kind of series. I wouldn't say his whole game was meh, but he showed good things on Sunday, I thought, when we were there watching him. And I think that's going to continue to translate Thursday. He's not going to go out there and make the giant big athletic plays, because we know that, you know, it's kind of an area where he falls short, but he's smart. He's going to be able to come back. I think he's got a short-term memory. He'll play just fine. Nick stole my thunder with Iggy. Again, with Anthony Miller, like I said with him, you just go out there, and if he fails, he fails. I mean, it's not imperative for him to go out there and succeed at this point in the preseason.
Can you pronounce Iggy's last name?
No.
Iggy. Okay. A-Booney-way.
A-Booney-way. It's not that bad once you get it. Just rolls off the tongue after 1,000 reps of doing this pre-podcast.
See, I'm not at 1,000 reps yet.
So. That's the problem. So you have some homework after the show.
Get the reps during the preseason.
Yep.
Absolutely. So, Nick, real quick, we've talked about, Nick Kwiatkowski, though, off and on throughout training camp. I'm curious for listeners, I'm sure they're wondering, too, what's maybe one thing that you've seen out of him that he struggled with throughout camp that you want to see improvement on if he does play tomorrow? Well, he should play, so when he does play.
So I think coverage-wise, that's not where his strength is at. Just getting in the right depth, being in the right place. He's in the right place, but just getting at the right depth fast enough, especially when receivers are going seam routes down the middle. That's where he struggled with. I want to see the Bengals attack that, and I want to see how Kwiatkowski is able to, you know, respond to these multiple routes that are going in the middle of the field. So I think that's where he struggled, and I want to see the Bengals really attack that to see where he's at.
Yeah, that's a good one. I have one as well, and that's going to be shedding blocks. Too many times, especially in one-on-one drills, when we're working on pass rush, even against running backs like a Tariq Cohen, he has a hard time disengaging from that block, getting off of it, shedding it. And I want to see him in a game situation when the Bengals are running that ball to find a way to disengage, attack the ball carrier, shoot the gap, all those sorts of things, because that's been his one knack. If an offensive lineman gets his hands on him, he has a really tough time of, you know, breaking free. But if he's in open space, Kwiatkowski more times than not does find ways to make the play. So can he shed blocks? I think it's one thing I want to see him definitely improve on, or at least see some improvement on tomorrow on Thursday night. So guys, we're going to move on to number 6 on our list. So we're halfway there, hitting the second half of our top 10 things to watch for the Bears-Bengals preseason game. And so for tight ends, does Trey Burton play? What about improvement from Shaheen? Of course, there's a big battle behind those two. And if you're wondering, Will, you forgot Deion Sims. He's not making the trip, and he's also not injured. Nick, what do you think is going on?
Yeah, that's good. I don't have to yell at him like I did last week at the Hall of Fame game. I have no idea. That's an interesting one. If he's not injured, didn't make the trip, I wonder what is going on with Deion Sims. Don't want to speculate on anything. Don't know anything at this point. But to go back to your first question, does Trey Burton play? I think he does. If you want to get Trubisky comfortable, just give him one of his best weapons on the field, Trey Burton. He's going to be open, going to get a lot of targets, you know, throughout the regular season. So I think he does play. And for Shaheen, you know, he had some success against the Bengals last season. I think it was like 4 receptions, 40 yards, and a touchdown. So he did a good job in that aspect. But obviously, it's preseason now. Will he be able to translate that? That's too far away to say, but I think Shaheen will impress. They got to get him in those one-on-one situations. We were saying in that Hall of Fame game where he was lined up in the red zone, just throw a back corner fade to him and see if he can come down with the ball. And we've seen that in training camp. That's what I want to see from Shaheen this game.
All right, and B, over to you in terms of let's just start with Burton and Shaheen here. What do you want to see out of those two?
Both of them, I want to see some improved run blocking. Because as we've seen in the one-on-one blocking drills with tight ends and running backs going up against the pass rushers, defense was consistently winning. And Adam Shaheen wasn't necessarily regarded as the best run blocker coming in. He was kind of average, mediocre, I guess. And then Trey Burton, I don't know if he just doesn't possess that skill, but he doesn't really line up in that position in the offense anyway. But that's still something that both these guys need to improve on, because the running game throughout all of training camp and even against the Ravens game was just kind of very disappointing. So I want to be able to see these tight ends be able to run block.
run block for the tight end. I would be for me, in terms of Trey Burton, I don't think he needs to make like any like big time catches to go out there and prove his worth, especially right now on Thursday night against the Bengals. For me, if he just gets a catch or two, maybe underneath an open space, finds a way to establish a rhythm with Trubisky, just get a few catches under his belt as a Bear, as the number one tight end on this Bears offense, I think that's plenty of progress, good momentum moving forward for Trey Burton. And of course with Shaheem, I just want to see if he can be fluid in route running, something that I know we've seen improvement on, no doubt about it. But I want to see how he's looking. I think he's going to be out there at the ones now if Deion Sims isn't going to be out there. So I'm going to see more Shaheen early on going up against the Bengals' number one defense. And if that's the case, how does he look against the ones? Because come to regular season, it's not like when he goes out there, they're going to swap the whole sub defense and put out the twos. He needs to go out there and be able to compete with starting linebacker, starting safeties, even a nickel corner if they want to decide to go that route, which if they do, good luck. But unless he's a tall nickel corner, that's a discussion for a different day. But no, with Shaheen, those are kind of some things I want to see. But real quickly, guys, Kalen Thompson, Daniel Brown, and Ben Bronicker should be making his debut. He's been practicing in full lately. Out of Kalen Thompson, last week he had those five targets. We talked about his drop issues. Daniel Brown was not targeted a week ago, but he's someone who has been consistently involved in practice when he's out there on the field. So out of this trio, what are you watching, and how do you maybe anticipating things faring for this unit just tomorrow night on Thursday? And B, I'm going to kick it over to you first.
I want to see, is Kalen Thompson still in the decline? I had him getting cut anyway, but it's just interesting that up to the Ravens game, he was making all these really good catches throughout training camp and then really kind of struggles come game time. Can he capitalize when the lights are on? That's something I'm going to watch for, because if he can't, then he doesn't have any business being on this team. I want to see Daniel Brown get some more receptions, get more involved in the offense come game time, whether that be, like I said, with Adam Shaheen and Trey Burton. This may be a chance for him to show off that he can make the team by being a very good run blocker. That's something that I think is going to have to be put in consideration if the running game struggles still. So I guess, as much as I hate to say run blocking for all three of those tight ends, someone's going to have to step up and in general just get more targets on the offense and the receiving end as well. And I'm not sure how much we see Ben Bronicker out there. I think he'll get time with the twos and the threes, potentially twos, I guess. But if he can make an impact, he's definitely going to overtake Kalen Thompson as far as game time goes, if that's in consideration somewhere.
Yeah, I expect a lot of playing time for guys like Brown, like Bronicker tomorrow night. Really, as soon as the starting offense goes out, I mean, they should be in that game primarily, for the rest of the game. There's no one else besides Thompson. They should just have those three in rotation, put them out there, and just get them those reps, see what they can do. But what about you, Nick? Anything about this trio that you would like to add?
You know, I just want to see out of Thompson, Brown, Bronicker, who separates themselves from the pack. And, you know, that's just, you know, when the opportunity comes, making a play. Thompson didn't do that last week against the Ravens. You know, if Daniel Brown has to make a tough reception, he makes it. That's going to, you know, when the final cuts come down, okay, who made more plays during the preseason, who's shown more during training camp, all that stuff, you know, starts to come together. So I just want to see who's able to make the most of their opportunities.
Absolutely. All right, guys, moving on to number seven, DeAndre Hall's chance of safety with Deion Bush out. Does he capitalize? Last week, Hall had two tackles. But with Bush hampered with a hamstring, this is an opportunity for Hall to get an extended look and prove himself. Hall had a great interception on Sunday when we were there. Maybe he can build off of that. But in last week's game, Zion Bush, who was making the impact with his hit stick ability. Hall, he is a slightly different type of, you know, safety. He's not going to go out there and lay the boom, but he's out. He should be a ball hawk. That's what we brought him in here. And it's been the discussion about DeAndre Hall ever since we brought him in a couple seasons ago. Yeah, I want to know, guys, what does Hall need to do tomorrow to maybe prove that he deserves a spot on this roster? And secondly, and more importantly, do you think he will do it? I'm going to go over to Nick first.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hall has to be in the right place at the right time. But Deion Bush was there just last week, and these are, again, against teams that are not having a game plan or anything like that. Maybe they're seeing simpler routes. So DeAndre Hall, will he have himself in position to make plays, and does he capitalize it? He can make plays. So we, like we said on that training camp practice, it was a one-handed interception, a great play by him, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I don't know how much he's going to play. You also have DeAndre Houston Carson is going to get reps. Maybe that's a tandem that's actually back there. You know, hopefully he does, because I thought he was a guy that can come in, potentially be, you know, a cornerback, and then he moves to safety. I've always liked DeAndre Hall. He just hasn't been on the field or available or just has made plays when he's been in games.
Yeah, you're right. Exactly. And the thing about, you know, Hall out there is, well, not out there is, it's been hard to, number one, develop him because he's not out there getting any game reps. Number two, it's hard for us to really know what to expect when he is out there in a game situation. So I think when it comes to DeAndre Hall, this is going to be a more, this is what we're watching for. We want to see what we have in DeAndre Hall. It's really hard to speculate. We've seen some things in training camp, but this is a whole different animal when you're out there in game situations, especially because he should be out there against the twos. It should be him and DHC being that secondary tandem without Deion Bush out there with the twos. So yeah, that's exactly where I'm sitting. And of course, DHC interception a week ago. Can he build off of that? That's something else I'm going to be looking forward to as well, because neither of these guys are locks to make the roster. Both need to be, go out there, make an impact, show an ability to make plays on the back end of this Bears defense. What about you, B? Anything further that you would like to add?
I think the DeAndre squared would be an interesting nickname for that safety duo, just throwing that one out there. But for DeAndre Hall, like you said, we brought him in as a ball hawk. He made that great one-handed interception practice, like you said. So can he be aggressive in that way rather than being aggressive with the hit stick like Deion Bush typically is? That's something that I'm going to be watching for. Another thing is going to be, does he allow many yards after the catch? Because that's something Deion Bush was more aggressive at with the hit stick, not allowing guys to get many yards after the catch. Can DeAndre Hall stay disciplined enough to break down and tackle the guy in the open field? Because we know that he's not going to lay a big hit as soon as the receiver makes the catch. So those are things that I'm going to be looking for. Hopefully DHC can continue to build off the successful game that he had against the Ravens. I still like DeAndre squared. Really just came off of that off the cuff. So I'm kind of proud of that one.
Brandon's proud. And okay, we're allowing your pride to take effect right now. Moving on to number eight, guys. Rashad Coward and James Daniels, two young offensive linemen. Daniels, of course, is making his debut, which is very intriguing because he's been practicing at guard all throughout camp. But this past week, they moved him over to center with the second string, which it's interesting because it makes for an intriguing situation where maybe they're trying to gear him up to maybe put him in the starting unit as center and move over Cody White here. And again, this is all just what it kind of feels like on the outside of the organization. And obviously Daniel still needs to go out there and prove it. But Nick, I'm going to go to you because this is in Iowa. This is a Hawkeye guy. And of course, that's where you went to school. So I think it's appropriate to hear. When he's out there at center, what do you expect? And I want to know what you make about this whole moving him to center thing. Do you think it's to perhaps get him ready to make that leap? Do they see him better suited at center and kind of ditching this idea at guard? Or, and this is another thought that's been going through my head here, and we talked about it on Sunday, how they can't find good backup centers right now, especially with Hronos Grasu out. Are they just having him at center so they can actually have the twos go out there and play proficient football?
So what do I expect from James Daniels? I think he's just a plug-and-play guy. So regardless if he's playing guard, playing center, he's going to be able to do his job, know his assignments, be able to make the block to spring a running back forward to for a big gain or even a small gain if they need it. But James Daniels, he's a smart guy. I know he had that shoulder injury, maybe a week and a half now in camp. But in terms of this whole maybe is he moving possibly center, are they going to move Cody Whitehair? I just don't think that right now it makes sense because Cody Whitehair's been getting all the reps at center. Trubisky's used to him. This is another season, coming off another season where he's already gotten used to him. I know we all know that James Daniels played center at Iowa for, you know, the past two seasons and, you know, transitioned from guard in 2015, but he hasn't been practicing that. And Trubisky's been getting that chemistry with Cody Whitehair. So I think for now, they're giving him the reps just in case anything were to happen. But I think he's going to play at left guard. That's where, the coaching staff wanted him to play since the beginning. Cody Whitehair has gotten all the practice reps at center. Just keep it consistent. Don't want to mix that up. But it could be interesting because, again, Daniels did play that at Iowa. That's what he, you know, originally was, a center. But I think it's still going to be Cody Whitehair in the middle, James Daniels at left guard, whenever he takes over for the, you know, in the starting role.
Okay, yeah, I was just curious with your thoughts here because that seems to be the big buzz right now. Like, oh, the Bears must be doing this. I'm like, Maybe, but we don't know that. And I think there's, of course, other reasons why they would perhaps give him a look at center right now, especially if he's so plug and play, like you mentioned, where he can slide the guard rather seamlessly. And on top of that, if he's going to be like your interior reserve guy, if he can play both guard and center, that makes him even more valuable to start this season, as he can get thrust into a multiple roles early on if something would happen and that he would have to step up. But what about you, B? Anything about Daniels you'd like to add, or do you want to move on to Rashad Coward?
I just want to add, with Daniels, I think they're really just exercising their options. I'm not worried about Whitehair losing his job. But whether it's James Daniels or Kush being a backup, they got to find someone that's reliable, and this may just be an opportunity for them to exercise their options when the lights are on and it's game time. But with Rashad Coward, he had 100% of the snaps last week. Played every single snap. That's not going to happen this week. But here's an opportunity for him to show, over a week. He was able to learn to move his feet a little bit more, keep in front of guys, be able to absorb a bull rush a little bit better, things of that nature. I don't want to have high expectations for him, but I'm really, really excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, because he's, we talked about it at camp when, he's coming from a nose tackle to offensive tackle, and he's embraced this with, tremendous attitude, and someone who he's going out there and he's looking like he fits the bill pretty well, playing that right tackle position. And even though we saw it at camp, I was kind of hesitant to get fully on board with this, Rashad Coward like hype train at the position, because he didn't see any game reps. He didn't see any live reps yet. And then last week, for the majority of the game, and again, he played 100 snaps, so there are going to be some, down moments. He played admirably well for the majority of that game, very well. Like, there's times like you don't even notice he's out there, but when you're watching his footwork, his, how he's using his hands, his arms, he's creating that leverage. It's like he's naturally fitting in that position, and it's one that he's still learning on the fly, which it's really enticing to see what kind of potential might still be brewing underneath the surface in terms of Coward. So obviously, this is a game where on Thursday night, you want to see him take improvement. He has the game tape now to kind of watch himself and learn from. And I'm hoping to see some steps in the right direction out of him in week two for him.
I want to add to Coward real fast. Playing on the other side of the line, knowing what you're facing against an offensive guy, now that you're there, you know what irritates that defensive lineman and how to win that battle. So I think that's something else that helps him learn this a lot quicker, too.
Yeah, very, very keen insight there, B. How about you, Nick? Anything you want to add about Coward?
No, I think you guys hit on it. It's just interesting in general that he's going from the defense to the offense and is having some success early on. So let's see if he builds off that success in, the second game of the preseason.
I think what would be another way to like frame this, watch him versus like a Bradley Sal. See who struggles, see who doesn't. Mm-hmm. Because even though I think Sal's more still in contention to being the swing tackle this year, if Coward looks to be on par with him, the Bears may vie to go with the younger option to make sure they keep him without putting him up on a practice squad. So maybe that's something you need to watch. Watch these backup tackles. See who's looking like the best candidate to be the swing tackle come the regular season. So number 9 is actually going to stick with the Bears offensive line, and it's going to be more specifically about its run blocking effectiveness, because can it improve? And honestly, I don't think it can get any worse than we saw a week ago. So in short, yes, I think they do improve, especially when the starters are out there. But last week, again, really struggled. Struggled to make any running lanes besides even Benny Cunningham's big run early, which is, it's an outside run. He got into open space, made a play. But in terms of like inside running, there wasn't a lot of lanes for any of these running backs to go. So I want to know your guys' thoughts about how it's going to fare. And then I have one more question about this, and then we'll move on. B, you're Mr. Trenches, so you get this one first.
It's very, very imperative, and I don't even know if Kenneth Long's going to play, but if he does, that's the difference maker as far as the run game goes, because he brings such an energy, such a fight and a fire to him and to the rest of the offensive line that's when the running game seems to be better. So it's going to be interesting to see his backups, who steps up and is able to provide that fire, that fight, to be able to create holes for the running backs. So I think last year we called it the Kyle Long effect, and I think that's definitely in play here as we try and figure out who's going to be more reliable at what position as far as run blocking goes.
All right, Nick, how about you?
Oh, I think, like you said, Will, the Bears offensive line couldn't do worse than what they did against the Ravens. So I think they do definitely improve in this game. Like you said, Brandon, I don't know if Kyle Long does play, but if he does, I think that offensive line definitely has a better chance of improving on their play from last week. And again, we're going to see this first team unit, the second team, third team. It's kind of hard for an offensive line to, get that chemistry, get established when you're constantly swapping guys in and out. but you do want to see some success against the Bengals. The Bears did a fantastic job against the Bengals in the regular season last year. Again, that's almost like a year, not a year difference, but it's been a while. So you want to see them have success.
They also did a good job against the Ravens in the regular season. Just want to point that out. They had 40 rushing yards last week. So
what's the backups?
Very true.
All right. So I'm going to throw a few questions your way and just a few things, some observations. And I just want, I'm just curious about your thoughts here. Just some thoughts I had before we went live. So how vital is it that the Bears actually find some success on the ground? Is it really vital at all this early in the preseason? Or does it not really matter until like that official, you know, what do you want to call it? Dress rehearsal game. Last week, they only ran the ball 19 times compared to 50 passes. What do you guys take from that? I can see how fans can maybe worry about balance, but personally, when I'm looking at it, I think they really wanted to get a look at the bottom of the depth in terms of wide receivers, give them strong looks to see what they have there. But on top of that, we still need to know what we have behind a Jordan Howard and Tariq Cohen as well. Unless they're sold on Benny Cunningham, he was the captain last week, so maybe they already kind of know how this running back battle is going to kind of shape out. But in terms of all that, just one big scope, what's your take on the lack of runs? Do you anticipate that coming up forward again? Are you worried about it, or is it so early into preseason, you're just kind of letting things kind of unfold as it will? And I'm going to go to Nick first. That was a lot to throw at you.
Yeah, so I don't think it's vital for the Bears to have a successful day on the ground. Again, there's not a lot of game planning going on into the games. They're not showing their, you know, their full cards with what they're going to throw at opposing defenses. But you do want to see it because they're having success on the ground. Hopefully that means that Trubisky and the first team offense get to stay more out there on the field, get more of those reps, see that success just going down the field, maybe scoring, because if you're not running the ball effectively, you're going in obvious passing down situations. And that's not what you want if it's third and long or anything like that. So I want to see success, but it's not vital for the Bears to have it in a, you know, second preseason game of the year, because they may not have a Kyle Long playing. They may not have all their wide receivers out there. There's a lot of factors that play into it, but there's no need to have success in this game, but you do want to see it for the overall, I guess, play of the offense.
Absolutely. And over to B, your thoughts on this entire situation I just threw at you.
Yeah, I agree. At this point in the preseason, it's not vital, but I would like to see a glimmer of hope, because with the running game being such a staple in the Bears offense the last 3-4 years, I would think I'd continue to see how good it is, especially at this point. So it has me a little worried, but it's not vital that we see that success right now, because we're not going to see the first stringers out there for more than 3 or 4 series in the game. So it's not like it's all that imperative, just a little worrisome at the moment. I need to see a glimmer of hope.
Glimmer of hope from B. All right, guys, moving on to number 10 before we talk about some fan things that kind of came up through Twitter. Number 10, Kevin Tolliver's debut. Can he work his way back up the ladder? Remember, he was playing at the twos. He was playing very strong the very first week in the camp before he was sidelined with an injury. Since then, he's been bumped back down into the threes. Can he find a way to work his way back into the competition for, of course, the backup positions at corner? And also, don't forget the other young cornerbacks like Goran Grant, Michael Joseph. So honestly, lots to pay attention to in the secondary. Multiple spots wide open for the taking here after the starters. We already talked about the safeties, so talk about these corners. I'm curious, what are some things you guys are watching, and what does your gut say? Who makes their mark on Thursday night? And let's go back to B.
I think it's going to speak a lot to Kevin Tolliver's character and whether or not he should be on this team. If he comes out and doesn't really look all that energized, doesn't go and try to make the play when he has the opportunity to, that kind of tells me, I don't want to say he's given up, because it could just always be a bad day, whatever. I mean, he's going to get plenty more chances. But that kind of speaks to me as a bounce back right away. Is his character worth having on the team? So I'll be interested to see mentally how he bounces back. Even if he fails to make the play or makes a mistake here or there, as long as he's trying and putting forth a very honest effort. At this point in the preseason, coming back after an injury, that's kind of what I'm looking for. Michael Joseph, I'm really excited to see him because he's been lining up with the two since Kevin Tolliver's been out. I'm interested to see what kind of impact he makes, because he almost had the interception before DeAndre Houston Carson got the one against Baltimore. So I'd be curious if he can get in there and be able to make more plays like that and actually haul one in this time.
Yeah. What about you, Nick?
You know, I'm really excited to watch Doran Grant actually play. He left a good impression on me on that last day at camp that we were all at. He was lining up one-on-one with Adam Shaheen and winning that battle more times than not. So, and he also had that interception on Lamar Jackson against the Ravens last week. So he's a guy that's going to be this preseason. It's vital for him if he's going to be on this team. If he, you know, shows any glimmer of hope, like we were just talking about, it's going to be now. So I'm really excited to watch him play. And Kevin Tolliver, he has made plays throughout training camp when he's been available. And obviously his injuries sidelined him and he hasn't been able to do that. But I do want to see how he plays as well. But I'm seeing how these two backups, who's going to win and again, separate themselves to see who's going to make this last spot in the roster.
Yeah, it's a fun battle to watch. It's one when we were doing countdown at camp. I don't think we actually knew how wide open it was going to be or how close this battle was going to become between all these young defensive backs. And the good news is, if, say, it's hard to tell, you can always keep one and put one in the practice squad, and who knows how things will change in a year or so. But the good news is we have a lot of good young talent at cornerback, which it's great because I think I feel highly confident in our starting group. So to have young depth behind it that I'm excited for, it's just reassuring that the Bears are in a good spot defensively for its future. So for me, any of these corners, make an impact play, go out there and get it. But I think Michael Joseph, just a shout out for him going all the way from Dubuque to playing with the Bears. You know, I think the first week when we were there, he looked a little lost, a little rusty, but he's really gained some footing, gained some confidence. And I think it showed last week. B, you mentioned the almost interception, but even then he wasn't a liability in coverage in any means as well. And he hasn't really been, so it can't be either. So for me, I mean, he has in terms of when he's going up against like an Allen Robinson, but like if he's not struggling against Allen Robinson, I would be more concerned about where Allen Robinson is at than where Michael Joseph is at. So for me, Michael Joseph, I might be paying attention to him a little bit more now that I'm going to be watching on TV and not really in person. But of course, Kevin Tolliver making his debut is one. Don't sleep on Kevin Tolliver either. That's what I'm trying to say. All right, guys. Moving on to the final few here. These came from fans, and a lot of these we already hit on, which I was going to say kudos to us, but, you know, I'm just going to toot our own horn, I guess. But no. For real, though, lots of people like Bobby, Jordan, Bear Hucks on Twitter, Tony, etc. They're all paying attention to the offensive chemistry and, of course, Trubisky being a large part of it. I think we already talked about how it might not be much of the real offense on Thursday night. So keeping that in mind, guys, can you explain to our listeners why maybe chemistry is still imperative to build and why we need to be paying attention to it? And Nick, I'll go to you.
Oh, of course. I mean, chemistry, if you don't have that, regardless if it's with your second team, third string, your first string, it doesn't matter. That's what keeps, you know, teams on the field, sustaining drives, getting that, even with it comes from the headset first, just being able to get that to Trubisky to relay it to, you know, the rest of the guys in the huddle. That chemistry that needs to be built with each practice rep, with each game rep, is vital for a team success, for any team success. So you want to see that definitely happen in preseason game number two. But yeah, like we said, it's not vital for the Bears to have a good running, or the offensive line to have a good running game. It is vital for them to have good chemistry. And it starts, you know, right now.
Anything else, B?
Yeah, I mean, it all starts, like Nick said, with the headset. If the play comes in, quarterback's got to be able to command the huddle. If they don't listen, then the play's obviously not going to work very well. It's got to work from center to quarterback. If it's not a clean snap, it's a wasted rep, something we've kind of heard here lately with some poor center play, unfortunately. Sloppy center play, I guess, is a better word. Then, you know, when the quarterback gets the ball at that point, he throws it to wide receiver where he likes it, throws him open. He's going to throw him right into a safety to get clobbered. That's going to be kind of a chemistry issue. And in the grand scheme of things, it's just going to come down to a game management thing. How well are these guys going to be able to click, to be able to make the offense run in late game situations? So it's very imperative.
Absolutely. All right. So Sean Peterson 11 on Twitter, his tweet response was pretty simple. He's just watching Fitz, Wims, and White. We already talked about Fitz. We already talked about White. Somehow Wims went under the radar. Someone who was a big standout last week, has been turning some heads in camp. He should be getting a lot of time now with the twos to really prove that he should make this active roster and not be on the practice squad. So Nick, I'm going to go over to you. What are you going to be paying attention to in terms of Javon Wims, and what do you anticipate happening?
Yeah, just him creating separation, I think, is going to be a big one for him, because he's not the fastest guy, but if he can do that and get himself open, that's going to be huge for Wims. And you know that if it's a jump ball, that guy can definitely go up and get it. We saw that even against the Ravens, just able him to outplay a smaller cornerback. But Javon Wims, yes, we didn't talk about him. We were talking about wide receiver debut, so that's why we didn't mention him earlier in the podcast. But he's definitely going to be a guy that I'm going to be watching for when he's on the field.
Mm-hmm. If he can show up, especially on third down in money situations like he did a week ago, and he does the same exact thing, man, that makes things really interesting for the Bears in terms of which wide receiver they want to keep on this roster, because it's kind of hard to deny that kind of talent on your 53-man B, I'm going to go over to you with another one here. A few other Bears fans responded. In particular, we have Brendan, Jason, and Wanda. They're paying attention to the pass rush as a whole. Last week, 8 sacks, 8 quarterback hits. Do you anticipate those numbers being consistent? Because that's pretty lauding numbers, number one. Number two, is that something else that you're going to be paying attention to? Because I think pass rush, it's still a big old question mark heading into the regular season. So is that still something you're going to be keeping an eye on tomorrow night?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I hope they're consistent. 8 sacks is a lot. And if we can continue to carry that through the end of the season, that'd be absolutely great.
Breaking here.
All right. But with a giant question mark, like you said, especially with no Isaiah Irving, still haven't seen any Aaron Lynch. Who are guys that are going to be step up? Is it going to be Kylie Fitz? Is it going to be Bilal Nichols, John Bullard, Roy Robinson Harris? I mean, we're not going to see too many of those ones throughout the game, I don't think. But who's going to be able to step up and create that depth? Because right now, like we said, it's just a giant question mark. So it's going to be something I'm going to be paying attention through throughout the entirety of the preseason.
All right. Good stuff there, guys. So to end the show, I just have two more things for you real quick. If you didn't prepare for him, I apologize, but you should know me by now, and you should know these are things that we're going to do. Nick's shaking his head no, which prepare. Totally Nick. That's such a Nick move right there. So first things first, predict the MVP. Who's going to be our MVP at the end of the game? Nick, you're on the spot.
Gosh, of course you do this. Okay, MVP, seeing who's going to play the most. I think, you know what? Chase Daniel is going to have a bounce back game this week. Ah, I beat you to it, Brett. Yes. So, yeah, we didn't see a lot of, or we did see a good majority of Chase Daniel, but he didn't play very well against the Ravens last week. So I want to see him bounce back. I want to see the quarterbacks as a whole bounce back in this game, but I think Chase Daniel has more opportunities. He's going to capitalize on those, and he'll be the MVP.
All right, my MVP prediction. That's right, B. I'm going to put you last. Hope I take your next one. I have Javon Wims. I would do Anthony Miller. Yes, I knew it. I knew that was going to happen. I would have done Anthony Miller, but again, he's not going to be playing too much. So if he was out there for a full game, I think we would see some special things from him, especially against some backups. But no, I think Javon Wims is going to do it again, replicate exactly what we saw last week. And if he does, he's just going to really start cementing his case to make this Bears roster. So for me, Javon Wims, I really hope it happens when it happens. I'm really pulling for this kid, someone who is new to football, but he seems like a savvy vet out there. He did on at least Thursday. I wouldn't say, maybe not savvy vet, but he seems like a kid who can play some football and understand the game more so than maybe someone give him credit for. And B, since we've all saw your MVP, what's option C for you?
I just want to add to Wims real quick. If he plays really, really well like he did against the Ravens and kind of competes for some time with the ones, I mean, that kind of makes these interesting where he falls in the depth chart. So I just want to throw that out there. Mm-hmm. I guess option C is Pat O'Donnell. No, I'm joking. I honestly kind of hope it's Bennett Cunningham because he's kind of been a guy that's disappointed me, I guess, and he goes out there as a captain against the Ravens. He had the one big run in that game. But overall, he just seems overly frustrated in camp. Doesn't ever seem to be able to make the easy play, I guess. So if he can go out there and not fumble the football, something we've seen on Sunday, just not finishing that play because it got stripped right before the whistle. So be able to finish plays, be able to be there mentally, be able to have a short memory. If he does something wrong, be able to bounce back from it and make the next play, whether that be in their receptions or running the ball.
All right. Benny for B, Javon Wims for me, and then Nick has Chase Daniel. All right. Last but not least, fellas, bold prediction time. I'm excited to see where these are going to go. And Brandon, I'm going to go right back to you.
The Bears finish this game with 10 sacks instead of 8.
Yeah, that's bold, especially now with no Isaiah Irving. So I will give you credit. That is a bold prediction.
But he only had 1 sack in that game, though, too.
That's 1/8.
True.
That's more than 10%.
Okay, never mind.
Math major. No, I wasn't a math major, obviously. Nick, over to you for your bold prediction.
You know, we'll stick with the defense and we'll stick with the sacks. Kylie Fitz gets 3 of those sacks.
Snap. I like it. It's interesting because my bold prediction as well is on defense, but it's not about sacks. Mine's going to be Bilal Nichols is going to get a forced fumble and a fumble recovery in this game. Could be the same play. It could not. We'll see how it goes. But for someone who is trending in the right direction, I think at the right time, if he can go out there and make an impact play like that, it would just be huge for his confidence. And I think it would give the Bears, the coaching staff, some confidence in him going out there in terms of going maybe in that rotation. Something I talked about earlier in the show, I would like to see Bilal Nichols take that next step before this preseason ends. I think if he can do it either in this game or the next, by the time we get to that dress rehearsal, he might find himself inching into that rotation, which of course he can never have too many good defensive linemen, or actually any lineman, doesn't matter what side of the ball you're on, but guys, and I know Brandon, you would agree with me, Mr. Trenches.
Absolutely.
So any final thoughts as we head into tomorrow night's game, Thursday night's game against the Cincinnati Bengals, anything else on the table that you want to make sure you mention, or if you want to wrap up your thoughts as a whole, and let's go to Brandon.
First of all, I thought you were going to say Blount Nichols is going to get an interception. It's kind of where I was hoping that bold prediction was going, but it's beside the point. No, I hope that we see some very good competition at the bottom of the depth chart with Javon Williams. I hope he's able to still climb his way up. I hope we see Kevin Tolliver on the defensive side make things interesting, kind of see if he can force Michael Joseph or Dorian Grant kind of out of that two rotation, make things interesting down there. Like you said, a lot of young talent. I'm interested to see where it all ends up down there. And still a big question mark. I mean, I addressed it with the fan questions. Just where is the pass rush going to come from? I know they had 8 sacks. I know I predicted 10 in the bold prediction, but where, I'm not exactly sure.
Well, that's why it's bold.
Yep.
What about you, Nick? Final thoughts?
Final thoughts. I really want to see the first team offense have success and, you know, maybe get a score, just sustain a long drive, because we all want to see that. We want to see Trubisky just get out there, sling the ball and stuff like that. But the biggest thing, we want everybody, especially in the Bears, to come away healthy from the second game, because you can't have injuries in the second preseason game, especially at, you know, thin positions like outside linebacker or anything like that. So big thing, just stay healthy, come away healthy from this game.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a huge one. I'm sad that you had to bring it up, but it's true. And I understand it completely. For me, I mean, I would just tell everyone to take everything that we've already discussed throughout this entirety of the show and just kind of keep it in mind as you watch that game. And if you can't watch the game, of course, we're going to be back with the post-game show to recap it for you in its entirety to let you know how all of these things kind of fared out. But I was watching some NFL Network today, something I haven't been able to do for a few weeks with all of our travels while I was working. And something I've noticed with other teams in their practices, they seem very lackadaisical, very kind of calm. And even teams practicing like with no helmets on, no pads on. And I'm like, I've never once seen that in Chicago under Matt Nagy. It's been full on 100%, no matter what, pads on, pads off, high speed, high energy. And I never realized, like we talked about, oh, wow, this is drastically different from the Fox era. But when you're watching other teams take that slower approach and you compare it to what we saw in Bourbonnais, it's exciting. It's exciting to see what kind of energy this team is building at practice, and I can't wait to see it translate to games. But no, I think my big thing to pay attention to, Nick, you kind of talked about it, starting offense, what kind of chemistry they have, what kind of command, it goes back to Trubisky, what kind of command does he have in huddle? Can he get the play call in and out, snap the ball with a reasonable amount of time? And of course, when he's out there, can his new playmakers that we spend so much money in draft pick on, can he go out there and make some plays or at least build some chemistry with him? Any steps forward, I think, no matter what position you're looking at, steps forward tomorrow night is the only thing that matters. No regression. All right, that's going to do it, Bears fans, for this episode of the Bears Brothers. I want to thank you for taking the time to watch or listen to the show. And while I say that, shout out to all those watching live, about 100 of you throughout the entirety of this show. Just want to say thank you. I know we haven't done a live show in almost 2.5 weeks. So for the fact that we're doing a live show and about 100 came back, I mean, that's pretty remarkable. I appreciate you tuning in. And if you do like the show, remember to review the podcast on iTunes or Apple Podcasts to show that support. We're only 9 away from reaching our goal of 250 before week one. We're going to talk to you as soon as that final whistle blows Thursday night. But until then, enjoy the game. Keep everything that we've talked about in mind. And of course, bear down, Chicago.